The August 9th, 2016 Board of Adjustment meeting will come to order. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Mr. Clitheroe?
Here.
Ms. Hammond?
Here.
Mr. Kroos?
Here.
Mr. Campbell?
Yes.
Mr. Hazelring?
Yes. The agenda has been distributed to the members of the board. Need a motion and a second for approval?
I move approval of the minutes.
Second.
Or the agenda.
Excellent.
What doing first.
We have a motion and a second. Do we have to take a roll call on that?
No.
Who seconded it?
Mr. Clitheroe. Can we do it by voice?
Yes.
Okay. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed say nay. Approved. The July 12, 2016 minutes were distributed to the members of the board. Are there any corrections or additions to the minutes? I have a motion for approval.
Move to approve.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
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 Those opposed say nay. Will the clerk please swear in the staff?
All the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, help you God.
First case we have is number 1926. Notice is hereby given that the Board of Adjustment of the City of Columbia, Missouri will hold a public hearing at a meeting of said board in the City Council Chamber on the first floor of City Hall, 701 East Broadway in Columbia, Missouri at 7 p.m. on Tuesday, the 9th day of August, 2016, to give all interested parties an opportunity to appear and be heard in relation to the following appeal. A request of James S. and Jill S. Orr for a conditional use permit for the purpose of an uncovered surface off-street parking lot as required by Section 2915 and 2923 of the Code of Ordinances of the City of Columbia, County of Boone, State of Missouri, and further described as or located at 223 North 9th Street. Has the notice been properly advertised?
Yes.
Has the property been posted with the notice of public hearing?
Yes.
Have the parties in interest been notified?
Yes.
And have there been any inquiries?
No.
Will the person making the application to the board please come forward, state your name and address, and be sworn in?
Robert Hollis with the offices of Van Maitrey Law Firm at 1103 East Broadway.
Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes. Good evening. I have a brief presentation for you here this evening, as well as Tim Crockett, who can present and answer questions, should you have any. First things first, if I could offer this packet into evidence, as well as provide you with a hard copy of the PowerPoint presentation.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
The slide entitled Aerial View of Property shows where the property in question is located. Hopefully that's sufficient to let you know it's at Park and 9th. It's just at the very north edge of the proposed MDT rezoned area, or new zoning area, should that come to fruition. It's owned by Jim and Jill Orr. It was previously owned by Alex and Marty Wygant. Next depiction shows the zoning, and this was part of the application as well, but everything that's the pink maroon is C2. The blue square again is the property in question. Immediately to the north is office. To the northwest, although it's zoned R3, is a decent sized parking lot. West of that is C2. To the northeast is referred to as staff as residential occupants, but it is also R3, everything else C2, and then further to the east, M1. We have a site plan that's been provided to you. Now, this is a preliminary site plan. It is a site plan for informational purposes only. It is not a final site plan. And hopefully I will convey to you today the the reason that it's not a final site plan is that we're here to obtain a land use permit, a conditional use permit for parking, which is the first step in hopefully a successful process. The next slide is a parking area / BMP. The building just south of the blue rectangle is what exists as of today. I believe it was built and started in 2012, might have been finished in 2013. It's 12 units, 24 bedrooms, and currently to the north of it where the blue rectangle is open space. There's a squiggly area that's green, which is really no representation of what will exist, but it's a BMP that we hope will exist should we obtain approval tonight and subsequent approvals. In general, it's a really small site, 2/10 of an acre. There are some unique circumstances, and I don't want to belabor you with all of the details, but there are very few properties that fall into this category when it comes to stormwater regulations. Again, we're talking about parking, but just so you know, stormwater regs were in existence for a long time. City Council made a change. Between that change and the next change, which is just a few years later, there were a few site plans approved. This was one of them. I've not dealt with any others like this. I think there might be one, maybe two others that exist. When it was approved, everyone knew that the existing stormwater regulations were not going to be in place. They were going to be changed. So the stormwater regs came in, made it more onerous as far as dealing with them for the entire city of Columbia, including downtown. In everyone's infinite wisdom, it was determined that they should not apply in the same way to downtown because you couldn't develop anything or redevelop anything. So in the process of that change being made, the site plan was approved. It was a gentleman's handshake that this site plan was approved, yet the construction was not per the site plan. It was per the new regs that were passed a few weeks later. Hence, 4 years later, we're here. So why are we here? There's no impetus to this, really, other than an idea by a lawyer and the hope to clarify title in the future. It's a building with tenants. All the approvals that are needed exist. There aren't any notices of violations. There are no requests that any changes be made whatsoever. However, the cloud is there. So to the extent that you're buying this property or you are going to finance this property and you look at it closely, you would realize that it has not been constructed pursuant to the site plan that exists. It just wasn't. Through no malicious intent on any party, city, or Mr. Wygant, who redeveloped the property, that's how it occurred. In addition, on-site parking would certainly be beneficial. It's limited, to say the least, and I don't know what the zoning changes are going to look like, but as far as existing zoning would apply, if this were a new construction project, it would be basically 25% of the number of bedrooms would be the number of parking spaces. 24 bedrooms, that'd be 6 parking spaces. We're proposing 8, so it would be just above what's required. So why now? Why are we in front of you first as opposed to going through the rest of the process of obtaining approvals? First of all, we don't know what the other approvals are going to be. Because first and foremost, if parking is not a permitted use on the site, then a site plan is not something that should be reviewed by anyone. For example, if we submitted a site plan that showed parking, as the general site plan shows, city staff would rightfully deny that site plan because parking is not a permitted use. So this is the first step. We're not putting the cart before the horse by any means. There are some references in the staff report with regard to rights of use and stormwater covenants, and all of those things have to fall into place. So in other words, we're not suggesting that you approve anything or give any approvals that would grant this applicant any slack as opposed to what they would have otherwise. Regs apply no matter what. It's just that the use has to be there as a permitted use, first and foremost. I copied on a slide entitled Applicants' Intentions Are Clear, an excerpt from a letter that, frankly, I wrote on behalf of the applicant back in July and have communicated with staff for a long time about this project, outlining how we hope to proceed, and it's consistent with what I'm telling you this evening, which is that a conditional use permit would be in place, permitting on-site parking. Stormwater structures would then be installed, including the BMPs. Covenants would be approved, which are approved with every stormwater plan, to my knowledge. And no cloud would exist at that point in time. A little bit on staff's recommendations. I think they're justified for the most part. As an example, there isn't anything in the ordinance that requires the applicant to do with respect or to do what we're proposing as for stormwater BMPs. It's just not there. There aren't any requirements that exist. Staff has suggested that the stormwater BMPs be in place. My client has agreed. It's a win-win, as far as I can tell. But it needs to be a condition, and it's an agreed-upon condition that be in the conditional use permit that the BMPs be put in place as part of the site plan approval. As far as there being no certainty with respect to the number of parking spaces or landscaping or anything else when it comes to the site plan, we're asking for nothing. If it does not comply with the city's regulations, then it won't be approved. We're limited tonight, in my opinion, to a conditional use permit request for parking at this site. Anything beyond that, in my opinion, is beyond your purview and beyond any reason to discuss this evening. As far as the risk, hopefully I can communicate to you that the risk is existing with my client and will remain with my client with respect to how things proceed. As I said, they have a site that has not been constructed in accordance with an existing site plan. So to the extent that the city would choose to withhold a permit in the future, let's say there was some sort of damage to the site that required a repair that would then result in the city having the ability to decide whether or not to issue a certificate of occupancy, arguably the city could withhold that certificate of occupancy because it is not in accordance with the site plan. Just a point of clarification, Section 2923, which deals with conditional use permits, is really clear when it states that what you're approving does not relieve the permittee, my client, from complying with any of the laws and ordinances. So to go through the staff recommendations one by one and quickly, one and two are with regard to stormwater. They're fine. We agree to install the BMPs that have been suggested. Those BMPs will be approved in detail when a plan, a stormwater plan, and a landscaping plan, and a site plan are submitted to the city for their review, just as all are submitted for review. Again, it's not required, but we're agreeing upon it and suggest that you make that a condition to this conditional use permit. And then number two, that stormwater covenants would be in place. And yes, that's part of the process. That would be the next step. It would not come to you. That's something that goes to city council. Should city council choose not to approve it, then there would be no parking based on this conditional use permit. As far as number three, as far as recommendations go, it's really in two parts. So part one is that the landscaping requirements be complied with. We agree. We agree with the fact that all aspects of city regulations be complied with respect to a site plan that is submitted in accordance with the regs. As far as part two, it suggests, and I think it means, that it would prohibit any future landscaping variances. And we have a serious issue with that, not because we think we will need variances, but because we might. And if we do, we'd like to be considered under the standards for consideration of a variance, which is different from a conditional use permit, and we've not submitted that information to you, and I think it would be improper for you to consider a variance at this point in time when there is no variance requested. And lastly, there's reference to a right of use permit, and again, City Council wants to issue a right of use permit should there be the need, which we don't know that there would be, but should there be the need that landscaping or parking or something else on the site plan would encroach into an easement or right-of-way that is in favor of the city, then, of course, a right of use permit or some other grant would be required from the City Council. We don't know that that would be the case, but if it is, it's fine having it as a condition because it's the law anyway. The next slide is CUP standards. It's A through E. You know them better than I. I'll go through them really quickly. Standard A, does it comply with C2? And it does. Conditional use permit is listed. Parking is listed as a conditional use permit under C2, acknowledged by staff. B, does a conditional use conform with the adjacent area? And I would argue that it obviously does. It is surrounded by C2 for the most part. There's R3 to the northwest. It's parking. Immediately north is office. Immediately northeast is multifamily. To the south and east is parking. South of the building that's south of the site is parking. Seems pretty clear to me. And here again is the zoning with the same arrows for standard B. Standard C, to me, is a little tricky because the standard is that off-street parking requirements be met. And really, the conditional use permit is for parking. It's not for some other use. It is for parking. So parking is permitted if there is a conditional use permit in place permitting parking. So we're talking about parking. We're not talking about another use and then looking at the parking with that use. We're actually talking about parking as opposed to a separate use. And then staff rightly suggests that surface parking would be required to meet all of the requirements of Section 2930 applicable to parking in C2. Standard D, adequate utilities. City provides all the utilities. As far as drainage being provided, right now, as I mentioned, there's a plan in place that shows a stormwater facility and BMP in place that was never constructed. By virtue of this conditional use permit being issued and subsequently the plan being approved, a BMP would be installed. So we would actually exceed the existing requirements for stormwater BMPs on the site. I'll try to say that more clearly. Because of the regs and how they changed, right now, if you were to construct a building on site, there would be no stormwater regulations of this sort in place. We're suggesting that a condition be placed on the site in conjunction with this conditional use permit that requires a BMP above and beyond what would be required by the regs in general. E, standard E, adequate access. There are two access driveways now. No new access is being provided. Staff did not identify any issues, and we aren't aware of any issues with regard to access. Specifically, we're requesting a conditional use permit for parking as it's defined in the regs as uncovered surface off-street parking on the property. I would be happy to answer any questions that you may have. Otherwise, Tim Crockett is here. He's an engineer, well aware, and familiar with the site, and I'll hand it off to him. Yes?
So why aren't you taking this to City Council first and getting their approval?
We wouldn't get their approval because parking is not a permitted use on the site.
But if they gave approval and then it's conditional on a conditional use permit like you're asking for now, there's a lot more variables on that, isn't there, that you're going to be asking the City Council?
Not sure I understand the question as far as variables go. I would agree with you that there are very few variables here. We're looking at whether or not parking is a is a permitted use or should be a permitted use on site. And if it is, then we can move forward with site plan approval through city staff, and then subsequently, because stormwater BMPs are in play, it would go to city council. Otherwise, it would never go to city council because it's zoned C2. It doesn't require a plan beyond a regular site plan. We're not talking about a planned zoning site where a development plan would have to go through the process of being approved by Planning and Zoning Commission and then city council. That doesn't exist. However, there are covenants in place, existing covenants, that say you, property owner, will maintain the existing stormwater structures on site forever. And here are all the standards, and it describes it. But it doesn't exist. The facilities aren't there. They were never put in place. There's some grass. There's a sidewalk. There's some parking. But no, it's not there. So to take this to city council, I think we would just be resoundingly rejected. In fact, that excerpt from the letter that I showed you earlier was a letter to Mr. Molman with the purpose of him providing it to city council so that we would know, so that they would know what we're doing and hopefully understand the process and why we're coming to you first. Because if you say no, everything else is moot. I didn't answer it.
Well, no, I hear you, but things do go to city council and then people ask for conditional use permits, I think. I don't know.
But they could put this whole plan together, take it to council and approve it, and can come here, and we could deny it, and they've wasted all this time and effort and energy and money, mm-hmm. And it's over.
It's no small endeavor to put together the engineering plans for this. Again, not hiding the ball at all. It's expensive. So Tim's firm would have to put together all of the plans, and that includes the regular site plan information, the landscaping plan, the stormwater plan. That would all go to city council, who probably wouldn't approve it because it wouldn't be a permitted use on the site. And then even if they did, it would probably be with a condition. We'd have to come back to you and then go back to them again. So we didn't do this on a whim. We've talked to staff for a long time about this, and hopefully this will be the first step in clarifying things.
Questions?
Thank you.
Is there anyone else wishing to speak in favor of the application?
Tim Crockett, Crockett Engineering, 2608 North Stadium Boulevard. Yes. Members of the board, Tim Crockett, again, a civil engineer for the site. As Mr. Hollis indicated, we'd like nothing more than to bring to you a full plan showing exactly what's going to be done the entire way, every detail of the development itself. However, it's a very costly endeavor to take on at this time, not knowing if we have the permitted use of putting a surface parking lot in. We have looked at landscaping. We believe we can be in full conformance with landscaping regulations. Again, we're not, by eliminating that as an option of not being able to come back, we don't anticipate that, but, that's something that this board can look at if we so desire, if something should arise. Again, stormwater, it is a very tricky site to handle the stormwater for this site, especially when we're looking to add a different parking lot. We are looking to various different BMPs to put on the property. We think we can do it. We think we can provide the same level of service and the same adequate protection on this site that never was there before. So while it necessarily wouldn't be included with a current plan, it's certainly something that the staff has asked us to do and we're willing to abide by. With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions the board may have. Okay, thank you.
Is there anyone else wishing to speak in favor of the applicant? Is there anyone wishing to speak in opposition? Please state your name, address, and be sworn in by staff.
Thank you. My name is George Batek. I am the owner of the property immediately to the west of the parking lot that's being proposed here. And I've own the property now for like 3 years, I believe.
Can you give us your address and be sworn in, please?
224 North 8th Street, also known as 300 Park. I do.
Thank you.
Okay, I am one of the partners of the law office that sits right next to it, and I'm actually the owner of the property. It is an office that sits next to it. I don't know if I speak exactly in full opposition to the matter, but what I do have a problem is with Tim coming up here and telling you, well, I don't have a design for the place yet. And another matter I have with Mr. Hollis is he indicates that parking is not allowed on the site. Well, I can tell you that for the past 3 to 4 years, there has been parking on the site. There's currently at least, I'd say, 7 or 8 students that park along what is our property boundary. And I also think that a design should be shown to you, because I don't think that what's not been correctly described to you is how people access the property. The property comes through on what essentially is the remains of an old gravel parking lot that covered the entire property except for it's not an L-shaped building, it's kind of like a U-shaped building that sat along 9th Street. So essentially Mr. Wygant came along and built his student housing project there and went pretty much close to the border on the west side. And he has a sidewalk running along the back side of the building. That will be towards the 8th Street side. And in those spaces there right now, there are numerous students parking. And I know he's rented out those spots. So I don't know what the ORAs are doing at this point, but this has been going on for 3 years. It's a shock to me to hear Mr. Hollis tell me that the parking is not allowed on the site. This has caused me some concern as to the property, because we are just 3 cars that come in Monday through Friday and pull into what is our parking lot, which is right next to the building there on the corner. And right now, both the buildings back from the Jennifer LLC building, which sits there next to the city parking lot, and Arnie Fagan's properties, which run on 8th Street, and as well as the backside of the formerly Wygant building, all essentially empty their stormwater into what now is the remainder of the parking lot, which is just covered with gravel. And we've had complaints previously from some of the neighbors from the North Central neighborhood as to the fact that every time it rains hard, well, here comes the gravel stream down our now kind of an alley. I don't know what you describe it. It's really the remains of a parking lot because folks built on it. And pour out into the street, and they don't appreciate it. And I can tell you that from being there before. Mr. Hollis wouldn't know about this because they're brand new into the matter. And like I said, I'm not specifically telling you I'm against it. I want to see the design. I don't want any more water pouring into that property. I am concerned with the access to it, that every time all these students are coming in and parking in this property, they have to cross at least part of my property. And I've remained silent there because I'm happy to have my neighbors. I'm trying to be a good neighbor, let them have access to the back. But essentially all the properties to the back there appear to be landlocked. And essentially it closes off next to the now ORA property and my property. And I'm trying to let them have access while we can. It's not exclusive use, so I am making sure it's not a hostile taking or anything like that. But should I sell the property at some point, we might build to the property line. And I suspect that this parking lot that's being proposed as it is would not have access, as it were, because they won't have a turn radius. And I'm basing that essentially on the X that's sitting out on the sidewalk per the survey done by Mr. Wygant. So I don't know, Tim, if you've looked at that, but you need to look at it, is what I'm telling you. That's why I'm telling you that I would like to see the plan first. And again, as a sidewalk sits now where the cars are parking on, they're all angled to drain into the driveway, as it were, right now. I just think you guys need to see a plan before you approve it. I agree with Tim and Mr. Hollis that it's not a very big property. I remember Mr. Wygant mentioning that there was issues with, he wanted to build a parking lot there, but they wouldn't let him. They wanted the impervious surface available, essentially so that stormwater could drain through it.
Right.
That's what it amounts to. Tim's a clever engineer. He might be able to come up with a plan, but I suggest we have to see it before it gets approved. And again, I speak with all due respect to the folks here that I'm not coming out straight out in opposition of it. I'm just concerned about the access and the drainage to it. Thank you.
Questions? Thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak in opposition? No one else? I'll close the public hearing. Comments from staff?
Well, I believe what has been presented this evening by Mr. Hollis is an accurate representation of what is included within our staff report. The applicant's entitled to take his opinion as to our description of what the surrounding land uses are and its overall compatibility. We don't have exception to that at all. Our analysis is obviously looking at what the immediate area is, not buildings that block parking, basically, that are to the south and to the west. To that extent, or to the east for that matter, it is what is immediately adjacent and the impact that the parking area may have. Traditionally, staff is not supportive of surface parking lots within its downtown. It is an absorptive use of land that is generally not supported by urban planners. In this particular instance, this is a remnant parcel that does have the stormwater improvement on it, which was precluding it from being able to be used as such when the building was built. We're looking at roughly a 2,500 square foot surface area in which this parking lot would go with a BMP that is yet to be installed. Our facts that we have pointed out within the staff report, I think, are articulated well as to why we have the conditions that we have suggested. I would agree with Mr. Hollis's assessment that they are looking for a land use approval. This is a conditional use, and that is really what the issue is. The site plan approval process is independent, and noncompliance with any component of our landscaping or any other engineering-related requirements as it relates to curb radii, turning radiuses for backing up and getting out of 90-degree parking spaces will all be determined at the time that the site plan is formally submitted. Conceptually, obviously, is what our staff report is based upon, a conceptual site plan, hence the reason for the conditions again. We're looking at something that we see particular areas that we are going to have challenge with. And given, I think, to the board's question as it relates to why not going to council first, that is also part of the concern as to we do have variables as it relates to the stormwater covenant and to the alternative stormwater feature that can be installed. However, even with those issues, I would not suggest that going to the council first would have been appropriate. You need to determine if the land use is right before you send a project forward to correct a stormwater covenant with new design for a stormwater feature. If this application is not approved, there is no parking lot. There is no revocation of an occupancy permit that's already been issued in a building that's been occupied now for 2 years. Any improvements that may require an additional building permit, as Mr. Hollis points out, may be denied due to the fact that the site has not been improved according to the approved site plan. This is an unfortunate situation in which we were going through a revision to our stormwater regulations at the same time that the building permit was being concurrently approved. The construction plans did not get revised, and the stormwater covenant had already been presented to the City Council. And then subsequent to the building being CO'd for occupancy, all of those pieces were in play. But as we have heard this evening, the stormwater requirements don't exist anymore. So had the plans been revised and had the covenant been retracted, we wouldn't be here. And they would have come most likely for a conditional use for a parking lot, though, still. So really, we're back to the basic foundation of what we're talking about today. Is a parking lot, in your opinion, appropriate? And if it is appropriate, it needs to meet all of our regulatory requirements, the stormwater regulations, as well as the zoning and the landscaping standards. Staff does not support parking lots, again, in the downtown area because they are land absorptive and they do defeat the purpose of having an urban and dense environment. And that is why our general recommendation is denial, and we will stand behind that, but we leave to the board's discretion potential recommendation of approval subject to the conditions that we've offered forward. If you have questions, I'll be more than happy to answer them.
Questions for staff?
So is there an easement? Did I read that this parking lot would be on top of easements?
If you look at the construction plans, there is a street and utility easement along Park Avenue. That is the reason for a right-of-use permit if we were going to park within that particular area, as well as potentially have to meet the landscaping standards. We do have a first right on that, about 20 feet off of the back of the right-of-way right now for the expansion of park if it were ever to occur to meet our requirements. I can't tell you that we will ever expand Park Avenue. However, whenever we have development, we often have the opportunity, and we did at least in the past, it has changed, to where we would take a street or a utility easement and we'd then build upgraded rights of way within them. Typically today, we would require the property to be replatted and the dedication of that right of way to be given to us fee simple, and then the property would have been reduced in its overall area. In this particular instance, again, as Mr. Hollis pointed out, a little bit of a unique situation. We've encumbered the property with an easement, and that encumbrance would require the applicant to go through one extra process, the right of use permit, to be able to use that land area that's been encumbered for city purposes. So there are, that is the easement, that's the primary easement on the property. And I would suggest that we have a utility easement that runs along the parking area currently that exists, that is behind the building. I cannot address that issue as to why that parking is there. It is not compliant, obviously, with our current requirements of a dust-free surface being pre-existing and not occupied by new construction. It is likely it was just not a requirement that we said you were going to pave it at the time that the building was redeveloped, and it has just existed as part of the site's use. The parking lot definitely that is being proposed to go on this particular 2,500 square feet that this case is about will have to meet our paved surface requirements, and I will defer to the applicant's agent as well as the engineer as to what they may or may not do with that gravel area to the rear as part of that overall construction process. I can tell you, just glancing at the actual construction plans here, as the neighboring property owner was discussing, it would appear as though there was proposed on the construction plans some type of drainage feature that would have collected rainwater from the back of the building that is in the what is ostensibly an alley back to the BMP feature. That either was a roof drainage connection. It is unclear from the plan at the level I'm looking at it if that would have been a requirement, and that may reduce the amount of runoff that is actually traveling down the gravel surface today. Again, the BMP was never installed, and therefore all of those features that may have been along with it weren't either, obviously potentially exacerbating the existing problem on the adjacent property.
It wasn't installed just because it was overlooked. Is that what I'm hearing?
No, it was not installed because it would not have been required. Now,
I thought the regs were in place at that time.
The regs were in place at the time that the plans were submitted. They were concurrently being amended as the plans were going through plan review and plan check. At the time that the plans were approved, the regulations changed concurrently or thereabouts, and therefore our review staff, understanding that those regulations would have been null, did not proceed forward moving with requiring the installation. And I'm not sure if it was an error at the staff level that we just overlooked the requirement, but nonetheless, the building's been there since 2013 without the BMP in place, and now what we're trying to do is figure out, A, can you get the land use there? And if you can get the land use there, you're going to have to make sure that you meet the BMP requirement that we're not letting you off the hook on. And that's going to have to be installed somehow to address the drainage-related issues that the BMP feature was supposed to be dealing with if it were to have been installed when the building was originally permitted. Which means, as Mr. Crockett pointed out, you've got extra 2,500 square feet of impervious surface plus the existing building that you're going to have to account for that needs to run through the new BMP. And that is part of where the engineering exercise is. But you're not going to go through that exercise without knowing if you're going to have to add the 2,500 square feet of impervious to it. If that makes sense, if I haven't confused you more.
You have a question, yeah.
So staff's main objection is that on-site or surface parking lots are not allowed in the downtown area.
That is correct. We will stand by that recommendation as we have on most surface parking lots, if not all, that have been presented to this board. We do not agree that they are appropriate in the C2 zoning district.
And so the access issue, all these other issues will be taken up when the site plan is actually approved. Can council give variances as they approve or not on the site plan?
No, the site plan itself will not be presented to City Council. The only items that will be presented to City Council are the revised stormwater covenant. All of the stormwater improvements and the BMP design, as well as the engineering associated with that, will be approved by our stormwater and our site development staff. That is external from council. Council will only be dealing with the actual stormwater covenant, which basically assigns responsibility for maintenance from the makes the applicant responsible for maintenance in a form that is acceptable. The BMP feature will have to be equivalent, if not greater than what was originally approved, and that'll be determined as part of our more detailed evaluation of the stormwater impacts that the improvement, the new improvement, if approved, i.e. the parking lot, creates. And that is the engineering, again, exercise that we have to go through. You're going to have more runoff. You're going to have a higher coefficient of impervious surface that has to run in and be captured. So as the site was originally designed, it had much less impervious surface, and that is part of what the exercise of engineering will have to go through. And council is not involved in that. That is a strictly technical manual related issue. So no, they do not have the authority to grant variances. They could send back. I will not, and I'll let Mr. Mullman answer the question more fully. I would imagine the council, if they are not happy with the stormwater covenant, they could send the stormwater covenant back or request that it be revised for some purpose. I don't know for what, though. They're a standard general activity that we produce in a standard form.
So landscaping is, it will have to be followed.
It will have to be followed. Council does not, that's not even, the site plan, again, will not go before the council. If any deviations exist in the site plan, any of our design requirements as it relates to curbs or any other city-related standard that would be in the purview of the board, which is anything within the zoning ordinance, would have to come back to the board for its approval, its consideration, again, another public hearing, as a variance request specifically. I can tell you that just based on the design aspects of where the curb drops are, today as they exist, the parking lot's going to have to acknowledge, we'll have to acknowledge where those curb openings are. Typically, we would want to probably consolidate them, but given the nature of the parking lot, its size, and where the existing curb drops are, if they can be incorporated into the actual design to effectively allow for turning radii, they've existed there previously, they functioned previously, and I was more concerned about the one closest to 9th being as close as it is. However, if this was a functioning parking lot previously, that curb drop's been there forever. And even though it is closer than what we would typically see in a redeveloped situation at a corner, you're only going to potentially have access by 5 vehicles at the most. And depending on how large that BMP feature may be in that corner, which is where it has to go most likely, because that's how the site drains, you may have even fewer parking spaces accessing that curb drop, which at that point it is a negligible impact to the street movements of Park or 9th. But our traffic engineers will have to evaluate that as well. But traffic-related engineering type of things will go through our Public Works Department through more of an internal variance process. We're not platting the property. And since there's no platting action involved, there's no planning commission, and then there is no council. Everything that we're dealing with really is more of a land use-related issue, and it's based in the zoning ordinance, or it's based on other technical requirements that we have within our code. That are either administratively dealt with, or they're just dealt with. They're dealt with within the department that's responsible for that particular area.
Did I hear you say 8 spaces, but it says 6 in here, and it says 6.
It shows eight, Ms. Hammond. Really what we're looking for, the finite number, that's just a concept layout at this point. You know, the final number, as Pat indicated, it may be less than that. Just basically depend upon what it takes to get the parking in, included as well as the BMPs.
Okay.
No other questions of staff?
Could you speak just briefly on your recommendation that no variance shall be permitted?
I think what we were looking at, what we were striving for, was because of the uncertainty as it relates, and this goes to Ms. Hammond's points, the uncertainty as it relates to how the project ultimately to meet the BMP requirement, that statement came out as a result, basically, that we wanted to be assured that the project would itself meet the parking landscaping standards, parking lot landscaping standards. We wanted it emphatically clear that either you meet those landscaping standards or the variant or the conditional use does not, cannot stand. Ultimately, if you can't design the parking lot in its final state to meet our standards, the conditional use is really worthless. So as Mr. Hollis has pointed out, and I think as Mr. Crockett just stated, the total number of parking spaces that are shown on the conceptual site plan that's in your packet may or may not ever exist, because if they want parking, they're going to have to meet our zoning requirements. And I would suggest to you that I would not have objection to having the condition removed in item number 3 if you're so inclined to do so, because quite honestly, it'll meet the standards, and they're not as, I'm not as concerned at this point after hearing the testimony here this evening that this site plan is truly what they want to build. They wanted it as a conceptual layout, and again, looking at what we typically look at, we normally have landscaping, we normally have a full plan in front of us, and to Ms. Hammond's point, we don't have a full plan because we don't have the stormwater BMP there. And I think that that's something that we'll acknowledge, and basically the project, if they want it to pursue forward, is going to have to meet those standards. So really, to have the exclusion of a variance there or not, probably not as necessary as we may have thought when we wrote the report. It is very limiting if you so choose to keep it in. And that is, again, that's the discretion of the board. If you want to make a point that you shall not be able to ask for a variance, we don't care if you have to lose 75% of your parking spaces, you're not going to be able to come back. That's your choice. I think what you're going to end up seeing here, once the BMP is approved, the landscaping will be installed. It goes through a couple of additional steps. As I said earlier, you have to get a right of use permit. If you can't get a right of use permit to occupy a right of way, that means your landscaping is going to be internally on your property, which is outside of the easement. And the street and utility easement is on the applicant's property, but it is encumbered and it is only to be used for street and utility purposes. It's not to be used for a parking space or a portion thereof, and it wasn't intended to be used for landscaping. It would be roughly 20 feet of no man's land of grass, and then you would come with a 6-foot landscape strip to separate your parking lot from the right of way. It'd be odd. It would be very odd for us to say we're going to require you to maintain the 20 feet of grass and then put your berm behind it. So if, in fact, the sidewalk is there, it's a compliant sidewalk, we're probably going to consider reasonably allowing them to occupy that space, realizing that at some point in the future, if the road is ever expanded, which there are no plans to do, that landscaping would go away or be modified somehow. And then any other type of improvement that would be made to the site would likely require some type of upgrade to that landscaping at a later date.
Thank you.
Questions of legal?
I have one question for staff.
Oh, you got another one for staff? Sorry.
How will the western access to the parking lot be handled through staff?
It's going to have to be analyzed. I will tell you right now where that is currently located and the distance from the backside of the parking spaces. Since they're 90-degree parking spaces, they're going to be required to have a 24-foot aisle width from the back of the parking space to the property line. It is going to be required to be on-site. All of the maneuvering space will have to be on-site. That is how our code is written. You cannot maneuver on a public right-of-way, and you cannot maneuver on somebody else's property unless the adjacent property owner authorizes that through some type of reciprocal easement arrangement. And it may be to the benefit of the adjacent property owner that if they do want to have their parking lot with a redeveloped building having access, that could help at some point to do some type of shared joint access where the existing curb drop is and allow the building that they occupy to be expanded, but maybe preserve access to the parking at 90 degrees coming into their building in the future. Again, I think you have an issue. We have an issue as the parking exists further up the property as it heads south that needs to be addressed, and that may be addressed through the redevelopment side. It may go away as well, given the fact that you are going to create some paved parking spaces. I can't say that that will end up happening, and knowing how college students park, probably not.
I do a lot of towing.
I'm confident that we will ensure that through the design elements of how that parking lot is laid out, it will meet all of our dimensional and maneuvering standards. It'll have to.
Whether it's a function of on-site or some other agreement.
Yes, that is correct. And that some other agreement will have to be presented at the time that the site plan is submitted formally for approval.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions of staff? Comments from legal?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The CUP, and accordingly, there is no hardship standard attached to this approval. Just a reminder of that. The standards that the board should analyze in coming to the decision are outlined in the staff report and also by Mr. Hollis in his presentation, items A through E. I'm sure you guys have questions for me on this, so I am happy to oblige.
Well, I had the question about, you know, about approving this before it goes to the city council with a full site plan. And do you agree that that's, we need to get the land use first?
From a practical matter, I agree. From a legal matter, that it's an appropriate process. You had to do one first, and the applicant chose to come to you first because, to put it, I think, frankly, you're cheaper. And so, from a legal perspective, we have no objection to proceeding in this order of procedure.
And the covenants, stated standard covenants are in place. Did that mean with the subdivisions or is the city covenants? I was confused.
They're covenants that run to the city, basically guaranteeing that the property owner will maintain the stormwater BMPs in an operational manner. So the covenants run from the property owner to the benefit of the city. And part of what they would be seeking from the city council is release of those stormwater covenants and essentially a replacement with stormwater covenants that reflect alternative but equal stormwater performance.
Comments, discussion, motion?
Well, I move that we would approve this with the four conditions and include the no variance shall be permitted for landscaping standards. I see it that, or maybe I move that.
Second.
Second, but I have a comment.
Okay.
Yeah, I understand the staff's position that you would like to have everything in black and white, or that you have no parking on one place and don't, and you. But the world is filled with grays, and we have a lot opportunity, I think, in approving this to address some of the small problems that were created decades ago, and so I think that maybe the question of access, the question of water, some of these things can be at least in part addressed in the planning as it goes forward.
I'd like to just mention, I asked for that no variance, that we include that because I do, if this non-legal final site plan shows 8 spaces, if there could be more spaces without landscaping, would the applicant come back for, you know, a variance? And I would like to ensure that there is landscaping, and even if it means that there's 5 spaces only.
Okay. Do you understand that They have to come back to us if they don't meet the required requirement.
I know, but yeah. I think that's a, you know, that's.
We need her to restate that motion, or are we good?
I just need her to clarify the landscaping variance portion of that.
On number three, the last part of the sentence, and no variance shall be permitted for waiver of such standards, I would like to include that in the motion, all of 1, 2, and 3 as written by staff.
So you're wanting to include that a landscaping variance can't be granted?
Cannot.
No.
Okay. Ever or?
Well, this says no variance. Legal, does that mean ever?
As written in the staff report is a position that we're fine with.
So what if I don't agree with that?
You beat me to my question. Yeah.
What do we do if we don't?
I think it really hinders. Does it hinder just them, or does it hinder the property going forward?
The property forever.
Right. So I think that while I understand your position, they would still have to come back to us for a variance on this specific thing.
Yes.
I would hate to limit that property forever with this one item.
I can't support it with all four.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat.
I feel like forever and ever, and what happens if that building burns down?
I trust the staff to come up with a good plan, and I think that we can
they still have, to meet
have
all
some
the
flexibility in that.
But this, as I understand number three, it is only about the subject parking lot. It's not about the building burning down or the rest of the site, but the parking lot and what's the requirements for 2925? Is that the landscaping requirement?
Correct.
And so it applies only to the landscaping requirement.
Thus, when they submit a plan, it has to meet that requirement.
Unless they come back for ask
and
for
then
a
they would have to come back to us to ask for that a variance if they need it.
Why come back if we can assure that it will be done at that time?
I think that hinders that property forever.
I'm still in favor of giving some flexibility, too.
Motion to approve.
Well, I already made the motion, so we need to vote.
The way I understand what's happened so far is that Ms. Hammond has made a motion, and there has yet to been a second on it.
I thought I heard a second, but I wasn't sure. So someone could clarify that.
We had a second, and then we had discussion.
Okay. That's better. So if you can either take a vote on that motion, or someone may move to amend the motion, either one of those would be appropriate procedure.
I move to amend the motion.
And how would you like to amend the motion?
All items 1, 2, and 3, or not all items. Items 1, 2, and 3.
And 4.
Wait, you meant 1,
but
2, and 4.
But strike. And no variance shall be permitted for waiver of such standards under number 3.
Yes, sorry.
Okay.
Yes. So it's 1, 2, and 4.
1, 2, 3, and 4, and strike. And no variance shall be permitted for waiver of such standards under number 3.
That Mr. Clethro, would you like to make a motion?
That sounds fantastic.
I did.
He can get it out. Better.
So moved.
We have a motion. Do I have a second?
Shouldn't Ms. Hammond, and if the motion's being amended, shouldn't they be agreeable to it since the motion's being...
Don't I have to be voted down?
Yes, you need to be voted down.
Okay.
So the current motion on the floor is a motion to amend... The original motion?
Yes. Okay. That's what I seconded.
Mr. Campbell has seconded that. I believe the motion to amend is ripe for action.
There you go.
I would take a roll call vote.
Roll call vote. Excellent. So a roll call vote to amend the original.
I will say, as this is not a motion to approve an application, but a motion to amend a motion.
The original
majority.
Agreed.
A majority would carry that particular action.
A majority or four?
Majority.
Three.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm going to clarify the motion just so everyone's on the same page. This is to approve the conditional use permit.
No.
This is to
not, sorry.
This
yeah.
is to amend.
Sorry. This is to amend the motion for the recommendations in the staff report 1, 2, 3, and 4, except for under condition 3 listed, you are striking the section that says no variance shall be permitted for waiver of such standards.
Correct.
Okay.
Roll call.
Mr. Clitheroe?
Yes.
Ms. Hammond?
No.
Mr. Crows?
Yes.
Mr. Campbell?
Yes.
Mr. Hazelrig?
Yes.
The motion has been amended, and the motion is now ripe for action on the subject matter of the application.
Mr. Clitheroe made the motion. We have the second from
that,
Mr.
That's already been done.
Yes, right. that's already been done.
Just make it
we can take a now. Roll call vote on the amended motion.
On the amended motion.
Clerk, please take the roll on the amended motion.
So this is for approval of the conditional use permit with the standards, or with the, I'm sorry, conditions listed in the staff report, numbers 1 through 4, except for the section stating no variance shall be permitted for waiver of such standards.
Correct.
Mr. Clitheroe?
Yes.
Ms. Hammond?
Yes.
Mr. Crows?
Yes.
Mr. Campbell?
Yes.
Mr. Hazelrig?
Yes. Variance has been approved.
Do we need to take a break?
Excuse me. I'm sorry?
Do we need to take a break?
Yes. You beat me. Both of you beat me to it. We'll take a 5-minute recess. Call the meeting back to order. Case number 1927. Notice is hereby given that the Board of Adjustment of the City of Columbia, Missouri will hold a public hearing at a meeting of said board in the City Council Chamber on the first floor of City Hall, 701 East Broadway, in Columbia, Missouri at 7 p.m. on Tuesday, the 9th day of August, 2016. To give all interested persons an opportunity to appear and be heard in relation to the following appeal. An appeal of James and Kenda Bond from the decision of said city's senior building inspector to deny a building permit on the real estate in the City of Columbia, County of Boone, State of Missouri, herein described requesting that said board grant a variance to the height requirement for a detached accessory structure by allowing the detached structure to exceed the height of the main structure. Said real estate being described as or located at 1785 East Prathersville Road. The person making the application, please come forward, be sworn in, state your name.
I have to ask questions about if it's been properly advertised.
I'm so sorry. I got ahead of myself. Has the notice been properly advertised?
Yes.
Has the property been posted with a notice of public hearing?
Yes.
Have the parties in interest been notified?
Yes.
Have there been any inquiries?
No.
No. Thank you. Please state your name, address, be sworn in.
James Bond, 1785 East Prathersville Road. I do. I'm wanting to put a building up tall enough to put an RV in. The building needs to have a 14-foot door on it. To have that, I need a 16-foot sidewall. That's going to be taller than the house that's sitting there. And I
no, that's okay. You're fine. Any questions? The applicant?
What is the illustration in the application represent?
What, for the building?
Yeah,
I want. I've got a bass boat I want to put in there. I've got a couple old cars, four-wheelers, jet skis. I mean, all this stuff now is sitting outside at my house, and I'm trying to get it undercover.
Okay, so the picture is you have a it's a lot that's...
The lot that I'm putting this, actually I own two lots there, side by side. And the lot that I'm putting this on is 68 feet wide, 230 feet long. And the building I want to put up is 60 foot long and 40 foot wide.
So currently the building that's already there is 14 by 70, is that correct?
Right. Okay. That's right.
Yep. Oh, so the building that's there is 14 and you want to go 16?
No, it's 14, yeah. 14 wide by 70. Yeah. How tall is the existing structure?
I think it's about 14 feet.
Remind me again how tall is the total height for the RV structure?
The structure, the eaves is going to be 16 feet to put a 14-foot door in it.
Okay.
And I don't know what the peak is going to be exactly yet because I haven't bought the building.
Is it going to be a high pitch or?
No. It's going to be a steel structure.
Steel structure?
Steel exterior wood frame? No.
It's going to be a complete steel structure. Red iron.
So your home is zoned R1?
Yes. I think that's right.
It is R2.
I couldn't read it. I thought somewhere it said R1, and then it looked like R2.
All the property around mine is commercial. Ground implement sets to one side, and then there used to be an old store that set to the other side.
So you're the only residential property right there? Did staff do a report on this?
As a variance, staff generally does not do a report on variance requests. But there is a staff member present here.
Could I ask the staff member a question while we're still in the public hearing?
Absolutely.
Okay, so this has been denied because of the height. Are there any other concerns about its location on the lot?
No, as far as the location on the lot, it meets all the requirement that it doesn't have it more than 30% of the required rear yard. It meets all other requirements.
Doesn't encroach on any of the side yards or rear? Okay.
No, we will require it meet all other ordinances and standards. So we have an existing 14 by 70 mobile home with skirting, I'm assuming, so approximately 12 to 14 foot high. This building will be probably in the range of 20 to 21 feet as required to be measured by ordinance.
Okay.
So if it's 40 and the mobile home's 14, that's 54. 54 from 68 is 14. If you need 6 foot on each side, that leaves 2 foot between the buildings. Is my math right?
I think your math is exactly right. Well, this depiction is clearly wanting for some scale and so forth. We will require that the building meet all other codes and standards to be placed there. It just was an automatic
stop. Does that mean he might have to come back here again?
No. Well,
if he wanted to put it too close.
He wants to put it too close to the lot line, yes, he would have to come
back. But he's got enough room at this point with the current.
Well, I think that building has to be separated from the main building by 10 foot.
10 feet.
Huh?
Yeah, he may have to get a little smaller building. Right. Again, it was stopped at the door by our senior inspector because of the height.
Okay.
Answer, well, wait.
Go ahead. Well,
so this property, is it zoned R1 or R2?
R2.
Okay.
According to the documents here.
Okay. I thought somewhere I read R1, but also. But but it's surrounded with commercial zones.
There's a lot
buildings.
Of M1 zone property adjacent. That's correct. If you could picture, you know where, what's the name of the mobile home park across?
Crescent Meadows.
There was the old store across the street. And then you've got Tower Drive with all the M1 zone facilities there right behind you.
There's Crown.
Odd that zoning is just sitting.
Well, yeah. It may be, but back to the question at hand.
Any other questions for the applicant?
I have a couple questions for the applicant, if that is okay.
Yes.
Is this your primary residence?
The house is my primary residence.
The house is, sorry. The house on the property is your primary residence?
No.
And no, it's not?
The mobile home that's on that property, my mother lives in.
Your mother lives in it? And
I live in the house next to it.
Okay, and that's not shown in any way. That's a separate property. So she's living at the property on this site, and she's enjoying it as a residential use. So she's just not running a business or anything like that. She just lives there.
She just lives there.
Okay, and is there anything if this variance were to not be granted? Is there anything that would prevent your mother from continuing to enjoy to using the property as her primary residence? If you don't get this variance, will your mother still be able to continue to live there?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yeah. So my mother's going to live there until she ain't here no more.
So the use, would it be fair to say that the use of the current home on the site is not particularly tied to the use, the proposed steel structure that you want to put up? Thank you.
The questions of the applicant? Is there anyone else wishing to speak in favor of the applicant? Is there anyone wishing to speak in opposition to the applicant? Seeing no one, I'll close the public hearing. Comments from staff, if you have any additional.
I don't believe I have any additional comments. I think it's pretty clear.
Any additional questions of staff? Comments of legal?
Yes, the the appropriate standard for the board to utilize in determining whether or not a variance is appropriate in this case is whether or not the property faces practical difficulty in utilizing its property for a permit, for permitted use.
So I have a question. If this were zoned like the surrounding properties, would this be an
issue? I think that's a question to direct to staff. I'm not sure how the accessory versus main structure would play out in a, say, an M1 zoning. John, can you help me out?
That height requirement that the, it would be moot. In M1 zoning, it would be moot.
Everything else around it.
It's the residential zoning that requires your accessory structure not be taller.
Right. Questions of legal? Comments, discussion? Or a motion?
I move to approve.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Clerk, please call the roll.
Okay. Motion to approve the variance as requested for case number 1927. Mr. Clitheroe?
Yes.
Ms. Hammond?
Yes.
Mr. Crows?
Yes.
Mr. Campbell?
Yes.
Mr. Hazelrig?
Yes. Variance has been approved. All right. Case number 1928. Megan, are we good time-wise?
We have 10 minutes and 20 minutes.
Okay. Case number 1928. Notice is hereby given that the Board of Adjustments of the City of Columbia, Missouri will hold a public hearing at a meeting of said board in the City Council Chamber on the first floor of City Hall, 701 East Broadway in Columbia, Missouri, 7 p.m. Tuesday, the 9th day of August, 2016, to give all interested persons an opportunity to appear and be heard in relation to the following appeal. An appeal of MU House Corporation of Delta Gamma, a benevolent corporation, further known as MU Association of Delta Gamma, from the decision by said city's plan reviewer to deny a building permit on the real estate in the City of Columbia, County of Boone, State of Missouri, hereinafter described, requesting that the said board grant a variance to the height requirement for chimneys by allowing the chimneys of the proposed building to exceed the maximum height permitted, said real estate being described as or located at 900 South Providence Road. Has the notice been properly advertised?
Yes.
Has the property been posted with a notice of public hearing?
Yes.
Have the parties of interest been notified?
Yes.
Have there been any inquiries?
No.
Will the person making the application to the board please come forward, state your name and address, and be sworn in?
Tom Harrison, 1103 East Broadway, Columbia.
Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, self-y God?
I do. I'm going to try to accomplish what I need to accomplish here tonight using one exhibit, so I'm going to pass it out here. It's this exhibit was included in what we filed, but I'm going to put it in the record, just make sure everyone sees it.
Yep. Thanks, sir.
So what I've given you there is an elevation study. In other words, it shows the elevation of the proposed Delta Gamma house at 900 South Providence, which is what we're here talking about. This property is zoned R3. It has been for many, many decades used as a sorority house. It's there at the corner of Burnham and Providence. That old house has been demolished, as you know, and the new house is under construction. Now there's foundation work being done presently. The variance that's being requested is with respect to the height of two chimneys that are going to go on the roof of the house there that are shown on Exhibit A. The Exhibit A shows those graphically, and I'll get into a little bit of detail on Exhibit A here shortly, but the variance we're requesting is for 7 feet, and I'll explain the math on that, but that's the extent of the variance we're requesting here. A prior variance was granted by this board in January of this year for the height of the building. This might be of some familiarity to some of you. When we had the prior proceeding with regard to the height variance, this exhibit was part of what we submitted, or an exhibit remarkably close to it anyway was. And these chimneys have been part of the plan from the beginning of what we've been proposing here. You might remember the old house had a couple of chimneys there on the front. These won't be situated exactly the way those were, but it's similar with regard to the character of the house. And so that's part of the thinking here. We wanted to keep them as part of the character of the house. When the prior variance was granted, with respect to height, I think there was an assumption on our part that the chimneys were sort of included, and that turned out to be incorrect in connection with applying for the building permit. So that's why we're back here today, asking for an additional variance with respect to the height of these two chimneys, again, of 7 feet. So looking at Exhibit A, this shows the elevation of the building, the new proposed building per the ordinance, which is Section 29-26, which has sort of a complicated formula in terms of how height is measured. But basically, you measure it from the highest curb elevation to the center, I think, of the pitch of the roof. That's where we get the 45 feet 5 inches sort of toward the upper right-hand corner. That's the variance that you granted previously. In other words, per your prior order, we were granted a variance to have 45 and a half foot tall building. The ordinance requires or says that chimneys and other pertinent structures like that can't extend more than 6 feet above. So that's why we're here. Our chimney goes 13 feet above the permitted height, and so that's why we're requesting a variance of 7 feet. So hopefully that math all makes sense. Again, we submitted building permit plans. Staff had some comments. I think they've all been resolved. This is the only issue with regard to which we had to come back to this board, and so we're seeking this variance as one of the last steps in terms of getting our building permit. We've had some discussions with some of the neighboring properties. I don't think you're going to hear any objections here tonight. I think we have agreement, if not support, from the other Greek houses around. I also have some representatives of the DG house here. I don't think they plan to speak unless there are questions that you have that I can't answer. So I wanted to keep my presentation short and sweet. Hopefully I accomplished that, but I'd obviously be happy to answer questions.
Questions of the applicant?
Nope. So at the time you came in January, there was a diagram of the house, but it didn't show the finished height or the chimney height.
Well, I think it did. I think what happened was, if you'll bear with me one second.
I have it here.
Oh, you've got the prior exhibits?
I do.
All right. I think we at least showed a diagram, or if not a rendering, I should say, of the house that showed the chimneys, if I recall correctly.
Correct.
We just might not have had them measured. I think what happened was we assumed, incorrectly in retrospect, that the chimneys were going to be part of the height calculation. And so, you know, the staff straightened us out on that, and that's why we're back here today. So. Yeah.
I don't understand. You assumed it was part of the height calculation. What does that mean?
Yeah, in other words, I think what we thought was
they were included
that's
in
right.
the 45.5.
That's right. That's right.
Mm-hmm. 45
that's
and a half.
Right.
I see.
Chimney has to go higher than the ridge line. So.
And so the chimneys actually go 13 feet higher, or is the roof line even
no,
going
just
higher?
Seven.
Yeah, the chimney height goes, I guess, 13 feet higher than the permitted height.
By the middle of
right.
the pitch.
So here's
so these are 7 feet.
But
foot.
Is part of the roof higher than the variance that was granted?
Well, yeah, but under the ordinance, the roof, and staff can maybe correct me if I'm wrong on this, but under the ordinance, you measure height to the center of the center of the pitch. That's there.
So this is 7 feet higher than what would have been
that's
allowed.
Correct.
Right.
Okay.
That's right. Sorry for its little.
And who? Okay, I'm bewildered that wasn't presented to us at the time.
Well, I mean, just frankly, it was an oversight. I mean, I think that's essentially what it boils down to.
May I make a comment?
Sure.
This is a moot question because of the height of everything else around there.
No.
Yeah. 5 feet or
40 feet. Oh, yes, there is.
Yeah.
Not very far away either.
Lewis and Clark
just
Hall.
Road at the university.
The building.
Yeah.
Yes.
We could proceed with
the
public hearing.
New construction that's going up around there.
If we could proceed with the public hearing, discussion can be is most probably appropriately directed after the evidence is presented.
We have no further evidence to present.
Thank you. Is there anyone else wishing to speak in favor of the applicant? Is there anyone wishing to speak in opposition? Seeing no one, I'll close the public hearing. Comments of staff?
The math that was given to the board by the applicant is accurate.
Okay. Questions of
staff?
I
believe it was an oversight as well during the last variance process.
Okay. Questions of staff? Comments from legal?
The standard for a area variance such as being requested here, the board should consider whether or not the property encounters practical difficulties in utilizing the property for permitted use.
Questions of legal? Now, comments or discussion among the board? Or a motion?
Motion to approve.
Second.
We have a motion and we have a second. Clerk, please call the roll.
Case number 1928, Mr. Clitheroe?
Yes.
Ms. Hammond?
No.
Mr. Crows?
Yes.
Mr. Campbell?
Yes.
Mr. Hazelrig?
Yes. Variance has been approved. All right. Is there anyone else from the public wishing to speak? Anything the board wishes to discuss? No further discussion. We'll adjourn. Thank you.